The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, November 11th through Sunday, November 17th, 2024. The commentary for November was written by Jazzy Bostock, a Kanaka-Maoli Episcopal priest, farmer, wife, and foster mom. She lives and works in Wanai, Hawaii. The commentary for Monday, November 11th, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verse 14. "And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Here's the commentary. "When I was younger, I would come home from school, and after I had finished all of my homework, my mom would let me watch Oprah with her. Mom usually prepped dinner, trimming green beans or peeling potatoes while we watched. We loved the guests, of course, but I remember the thrill of watching Oprah give something to everyone in the audience. 'You get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car.' I thought, 'I'm going to do that when I grow up. Surprise someone with a gift for no particular reason.' Well, I've grown up, and I have to say that giving with no hope of reciprocation is tough. I have bills to pay and responsibilities and, to be honest, a growing list of wants. Giving to someone else requires putting their needs first, which is hard to do, especially to someone outside of family or friends. But Jesus pushes us to give indiscriminately, to fling open the doors to our homes and invite the neighborhood." And now I'm going to read from the full passage for today's gospel from Luke chapter 14, verses 12 through 24. "He said also to the one who had invited him, 'When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they might invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous.' One of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to him, 'Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At this time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is ready now." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land, and I must go out and see it. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to try them out. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have just been married, and therefore I cannot come.' So the slave returned and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Sir, what you ordered has been done, and there is still room.' Then the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the roads and lanes and compel people to come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner. And the moving forward question for this Monday, November 11th, how can you give today? Pay the bill for the car behind you in a drive-thru, or leave flowers for a neighbor. The commentary for Tuesday, November 12th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verse 34. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? I have Googled this question in many different ways, and for all I can find, salt never loses its saltiness. Salt isn't like other herbs and spices. Salt has no expiration date. That's why it is often used as a preserver of food. Surely Jesus knew this, so he must have meant for us to glean a different lesson than the one on the surface. If the lesson isn't about retaining saltiness or needing to work to keep our flavor, then perhaps it's about returning to our roots and remembering who we are. Perhaps like salt, we were created flavorfully, and there's nothing we can do to lose or misplace our flavor. Perhaps when Jesus says that we are the salt of the earth, he is speaking about something inherent in us, a way we were created. If that's the case, we needn't work to be salty or nervous about losing our flavor. Our job is to be. And now I'm going to read the full passage from today's gospel from Luke 14, verses 25 through 35. Now the large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able, with 10,000, to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So, therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is fit neither for the soul nor for the manure pile. They throw it away. Let anyone with ears to hear listen." And the moving forward statement for this day is, rest today in who you are, flavorful and salty. There is nothing you need to do, nothing you need to prove, nothing you have lost. Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, November 13th. It begins also with a passage from Luke, chapter 15, verse 6. "And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.'" Rejoicing is a group activity. The finding of the lost sheep and then of the lost coin are not just events for the finder to rejoice in, but a time of rejoicing for the whole community. We often keep our joys to ourselves. We don't want to brag or show off, which means we often share our struggles more readily than our joys. But as we see in Jesus' teaching, joy is meant to be shared. Friends and neighbors are invited into it So the finder isn't just telling about their own joy, but multiplying an experience of joy for all to participate in. In churches, we share our prayer concerns. People who need our care are put on prayer lists, and we ask for support around what is hard. Make sure this week that you also share your praise reports, medical scans that have shown good news, or the resolution of some problem or conflict. And now the full passage of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable: "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The moving forward question today: share your joy. What is something you rejoice over, and how might you invite another into that rejoicing? The commentary for Thursday, November 14th, begins with a passage from Luke 15, verse 28a. "Then he became angry and refused to go in." Of all the moments in the prodigal son's story, this is the one I identify with most readily. It might be wrong of me, but truth be told, I have always seen myself as the older brother. In my mind, I have been faithfully working in the field while my younger siblings are squandering what they have been given. Perhaps I recognize myself in the oldest child, but I think the connection might go deeper, too. For many of us who come to church each week, we might feel like the eldest brother. We might feel as if we are invisible in our efforts. Because of his resentment, the eldest brother became angry and refused to join the celebration. He missed the chance to experience the feast and the music and dancing that was there for him, too. In his self-righteousness, the eldest brother denies himself joy. I hope I don't fall into that same trap. And now I'm going to read from Luke 15, verses 1 and 2, and then verses 11 through 32. "Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, 'This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them.' Then Jesus said, 'There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands. So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now, his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound. Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, you who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. Then the father said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. And the moving forward questions for this day, are you angry and refusing to participate in some space in your life? Is an invitation waiting for you, too, if you can set aside your resentment and anger? The commentary for Friday, November 15th, begins with a passage from Psalm 88, verses 1 through 2 in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible. O Lord, my God, my Savior, by day and night I cry to you. Let my prayer enter your presence. Incline your ear to my lamentation. Here's the commentary. I have a love-hate relationship with the Psalms. I love that they are so expressive, yet sometimes the drama of them makes me cringe. The Psalms take me to the highest moments of praise when it seems even the seas and mountains are bowing down to God, and then to the lowest points of faith when it feels I have been abandoned entirely. In seminary, my dean relied heavily on the Psalms in his preaching. He taught that even when the Psalms made us uncomfortable, they showed us how to be raw and honest in prayer. The Psalms remind us that there's nothing about us God doesn't love. Even when we feel terrible or like we're floundering in a pit of despair, we can pray. Prayer, the Psalms show us, is simply pouring out our hearts to God, no matter what's in there. Hope, love, joy, despair, loneliness, aching, there is every emotion in the Psalms, and God can handle every emotion. And now I'm going to read the full text here for Psalm 88. O Lord, God of my salvation, when at night I cry out in your presence, let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like those who have no help, like those forsaken among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a thing of horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eye grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call on you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the shades rise up to praise you? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave of your faithfulness in Abaddon? Are your wonders known in the darkness, or your saving help in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry out to you. In the morning my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast me off? Why do you hide your face from me? Wretched and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I am desperate. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dread assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. From all sides they close in on me. You have caused friend and neighbor to shun me. My companions are in darkness. And the moving forward statement and question for this day is pray using one of the Psalms. What feelings does the Psalm evoke in you? And what would you express if you were to write a psalm to God with what is in your heart today? The commentary for Saturday, November 16th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verse 14. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all this, and they ridiculed him. The Pharisees have a bad reputation. They are so obviously and so often the bad guys that we can forget they were among the religious elite of their time. Despite their shortcomings, I imagine they were generally well-meaning people trying to follow the commandments of God in the way they understood those commandments. The problem is that they got so caught up in the rules that they didn't leave enough space for God to do a new thing. They supposed they were in charge instead of trusting in God's sovereignty. And as we read in this passage, they were lovers of money. They became so accustomed to their fancy meals, soft clothes, and comfy homes that they became unwilling to sacrifice for their faith. While I want to point a finger of disdain at the Pharisees, I know I have four fingers pointing back at me when I do so. All too often, I am a lover of money. I like my creature comforts and sometimes even feel entitled to them. I wonder how often my love of money gets in the way of loving Jesus. And now I'm going to read from the passage today for Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 17. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also is much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you to the true riches? If you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all this, and they ridiculed him. So he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of others, but God knows your hearts, for what is prized by human beings is an abomination in the sight of God." The law and the prophets were in effect until John came. Since then, the good news of the kingdom of God is proclaimed, and everyone tries to enter it by force. But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of a letter in the law to be dropped. And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, can you relate to the descriptions of the Pharisees? Now, as we near the end of the week and the end of this program, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, November 17th. It is the 29th Sunday after Pentecost. It begins with a passage from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. We usually think of provocation as a bad thing. I most remember the word provoke from my childhood, with my mom begging us not to provoke one another. Here, Paul uses the word in a positive light. He wants his listeners to provoke each other, to push and prod one another toward love and good deeds. I wonder what that even looks like. When I was provoked as a child, it was a sort of egging on. My brother would sit at the back seat and poke me until I got annoyed. Then when I would tell him to stop, he delighted in holding his finger inches from my arm and declaring, "I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you, I am not touching you," over and over, until my anger would boil beyond my control and I would retaliate. The author of Hebrews suggests that we encourage each other such that love and good deeds swell inside us until they can't be contained any longer and have to bubble out. This is a much better way of provoking. And now I'm going to read from this passage in Hebrews. It is from chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, November 17th, how can you do some provoking today in the name of Jesus? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.